I want everybody on your feet because we are going to worship God with everything in us this morning.
Good morning, boys and girls. Can I hear the boys say hey? Can I hear the girls say hey? Okay, I'm glad that even though you're in your pajamas, you're still awake. That's good. All right. Who's ready to praise Jesus? Can I hear everybody? Okay, I'm really excited, okay? All right. Do we have Mr. Jackson? Uh-oh, here he comes. And then we have these two lovely people. They'll be doing the actions. So if you don't know what to do, if you need to do some little dances, just watch them, and they'll show you how to move, all right? Ready to go, Jackson? Oh, there he is.
You know, we're going to make sure we need our coaches today. I don't want to see anybody around the back of the room. You got to be on the sides, in with the kids, because we don't have chairs today. So there's plenty of room to worship Jesus, right, boys?
Yes.
Plenty of room.
All right, here we go. Listen here, I believe it.
Yeah. Boys, if you love Jesus, let me hear you say hallelujah. Woo, that was pretty good. Girls, if you love him, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Woo, you guys are nice and awake this morning. How many of you guys got to sleep in a little bit? You're definitely more awake than first service. That's pretty cool. All right. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and the song is called Let Praise Awaken. That's what we just did. I Will Exalt. We talked about the word exalt. Who has ever heard of that word exalt before? A couple of you who were here a couple weeks ago. Exalt is another word for exalt is to elevate, like an elevator. Whoever's gone up in an elevator before? Have you gone up way up high on a top floor somewhere and you can look out? Yeah. Well, that's what exalting Jesus is. It's lifting him up high in your heart, and it's making him first place in your heart. So when we say, I will exalt you, Lord, there's going to be words on the screen because I know not all of you know this song yet. But when we say, I exalt you, Lord, even if you want to lift your hands up and say, like you're going up in an elevator, and say, God, I exalt you up. I elevate you. I lift you up above everything else. And I love you, Jesus. Let me see you lift your hands. Who can lift their hands up? All right, so when we get to I exalt, let's lift our hands. And we're lifting Jesus high. And we're loving him today, all right?
Yeah.
boys? You know what else we're telling God, boys? You know what else we're telling God? I need all ears and eyes up here. We're telling God that there is nothing better than God. You know, we're going to stay standing because you guys, you need to stay standing and tell God this. Stand up on your feet, boys and girls, everyone, we're standing up. And you know what? We're telling God that there is no one and nothing better than Him. We're telling Him that there is no better place to be than to be here on a Sunday morning. Do you believe that, girls? Girls, do you believe that there is no better place to be than here on a Sunday morning? Boys, do you believe that this is where you're supposed to be? Do you believe that, boys? This is where you're supposed to be. So we're going to sing the chorus one more time. And if you have something to pray about, you can come up with our coaches. But we are going to sing the chorus again. And we're going to sing it to God like there is nowhere else you want to be. So I want you to close your eyes and pretend like there is nobody around you. And you tell this to God. You tell Him, I lift you up, that you are better than anywhere I could be.
Remember, let me try that again. God is good.
All the time.
There you go. And all the time.
God is good.
That's right. That's right. God is good all the time. All right. You guys look awesome in your pajamas this morning. How many of you did not have to change when you woke up this morning? You just got up and got to come. Some of you, somebody at my house last night said, can I just put my pajamas on and just get up and go in the morning? And I said, well, as long as you brush your teeth and you're ready. All right. It's kind of fun to be in. Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, what was Kirsten just doing up here?
She was helping lead worship and pray with the kids as we were worshiping God together.
Oh, because she hit herself in the face at the mic.
She did? Oh, I didn't see that. All right. Poor
it kid. Was funny.
You would think that's funny. You would. That's a guy thing, I think. How are you? Hey, how did did you? Oh, there you are, Abigail. Nice pajamas.
Well, thank
you. How did your guys' fishing trip go last week?
It was great. We brought you some of the fish we caught last week.
You did? Awesome. Mm-hmm. Did you put them downstairs in the kitchens or on the counter or something?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We will make them tonight and have some delicious fish.
Well, we put some in Coach Jeff Babcock's car. It's going to stink later.
Oh, hopefully not. Maybe it's a little cold outside. Hopefully it'll smell fine when he gets there. Silly Gilbert. All right. Well, I'm excited. And by the way, who ended up finally taking you? Because I did never find anybody to give you a ride. Who took you?
Actually, Plaid Girl had time.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think about her. She does have her driver's license. Well, good. There's somebody who's safe, and you could go, I'm so glad. And she's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. She was awesome.
That's good.
Did you know her uncle was a professional fisher?
I didn't. Which uncle?
Her Uncle Rod.
Well, yeah. He's a professional
fisher.
She's
so cool. Her Uncle Rod taught us how to cast all the way out, and she showed me. It was fun.
That's good, because I know you hadn't been fishing before. Good. Oh, I'm so glad that she got to go take you. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Her Uncle Rod taught you how. That's awesome.
She has so many stories about growing up and fishing with her Uncle Rod and his son, Real.
Her Uncle Rod and his son,
Real? Yeah, isn't that cool? And her last name is Tacklebox.
Rod and Real Tacklebox? Oh, brother. Yes, I'll tell you what. She does have a lot of funny stories.
Did you know that her cousin Real was little? He wanted to be a sea captain.
He did, a sea captain.
He even made a boat out of toast and toilet paper once.
Really?
And tried to float it in the swimming pool next door.
Yeah. But it sank.
Imagine that.
And they had to get a plumber to get all the toilet paper out of the pipes.
All right. Yes, I don't think that would have been such a fun story. She has some stories. Man. All right. Well, yeah. Rod and Real.
Did you know that Real is now a preacher?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, what made him decide to be a preacher?
What? Just a sec.
A preacher. Rod and Real Tacklebox. Yeah, what would make somebody want to be a preacher?
Well, one day they were at church, and they prayed over all the people at the altar.
Okay.
And Real heard God tell him that he was supposed to give up fishing and read the good news to Jesus instead.
Well, awesome. That sounds a lot like the person we were talking about last week. Do you remember? Matthew gave up being a tax collector to follow Jesus. It sounds a lot like that story.
Yeah, but why would you want to give up something you love just to go preach?
Well, don't you remember what Plaid Girl told us? When you fall in love with Jesus, you leave your old life behind and give Jesus everything.
Well, I remember saying that, but it seems like a big decision.
It is a big decision, but actually that's awesome, because when you fall in love with Jesus, you let him have his plans for your life instead of your own. It's not like really giving something up. It's gaining something, because God now has his control over your life. It's awesome.
That's what my mom always says.
Yeah, that's good. Your mom is very smart. And you know what? It reminds me a lot of our story that we're going to be talking about today. Because when God is in control of your life and you are following his plans, he takes care of all your needs. And we're going to be talking about that in here today, because God takes care of all our need. Now, this morning, we are talking about, if I have a need, God will provide. All right? I want you guys to say that with me. If I have a need, God will provide. Who will provide? That's right. If I have a need, God will provide. And this morning we're going to be talking... Well, hey, Plaid Girl, how are you doing this morning? You know what? We were just talking about you just a moment ago. Thank you so much for taking the guys fishing last weekend.
It was no problem at all.
Oh, good. I was literally worried because they were trying to get somebody who really didn't have their driver's license long enough to give them a ride. So thank you so much for giving them a ride.
Well, Uncle Rod always says, go fishing whenever you can. That's sort of his superpower.
It is. They were talking about your Uncle Rod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sounds like a very interesting guy.
Yep.
Yeah, Uncle, and your cousin's name was?
Real.
So Rod and Real Tacklebox.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You have so many unique stories. Yes.
Yeah. We were talking about that this morning.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What were you talking about?
We were talking about how my cousin Real wrestled a shark.
Wrestled a shark? Really? Mm-hmm.
He said it was very easy.
Why?
Sharks don't have arms.
Oh, brother. Yes, you and your stories. It sounds like another one of those.
Well, that was nothing.
Really?
This one time, they were on a camping trip.
Okay.
And their car broke down.
You know what? That has happened to us several times when we've been out and a car has broken down. What did they do?
Well, they were on the beach.
Okay.
Middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. stranded. And they decided they were not going to be upset.
Okay.
They were going to trust in God to provide.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, how did God provide?
Well, they decided to go out into the water.
Uh-huh.
Pray.
Okay.
And go fishing, just like their favorite hero, the disciple Peter.
Oh, I have heard of that story before. So what happened?
Well, Uncle Rod caught a fish.
Uh-huh.
And it jingled.
It jingled?
Mm-hmm.
Why did it jingle?
Well, as he was unhooking it, it started jingling. So he put it upside down and car keys fell out of the fish's mouth.
Well, that is a little weird. That's an interesting story. I've never
not
heard
as
of that
weird
before.
As, not as weird as the catch my cousin Rio got.
Okay, what did he catch?
He caught the biggest fish.
Really?
It was as big as a house.
A house?
Mm-hmm. And it burped out a brand new car.
Okay. Yeah, that definitely is one of your crazy stories. But you know what? Today I'm going to tell the kids a true story, all right, about somebody who caught a fish. And this fish really did have something in his mouth. All right. Do you know which story I'm talking about?
I do know what story you're talking about, but don't say anything.
Okay.
Just remember.
Yes?
If you're in trouble, do not walk to God. Run straight to him.
That's right.
And miraculous things will happen.
That's right. And you know what? I have a great idea for your story. Why don't you start a fairy tale book?
That sounds like a great idea.
I thought so. Yeah, you start a fairy tale book, and today we're going to talk about a real fishing story, all right?
Well, I must be off, mortals.
All right.
See you again.
Goodbye, plaid girl. She has some interesting story. Now listen. Her story was kind of silly, but you know what? The story that we're reading in the Bible today really did happen, and the disciple Peter really caught a fish with something in its mouth. And it was just as crazy back then when people heard about it as us talking about a fish with a car or keys in its mouth, all right? And we're going to read it this morning because we are talking about if you have a need, God will provide. And Peter had a need. If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to open it up to Matthew, all right? Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, chapter 17, verse 24. All right? Matthew 17, 24. So pull out your Bibles or your phone apps and let's read this. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, you can read it up here on the screen with us, okay? Matthew 17, verse 24. Now listen, it says, After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. So this is Peter replying back. All right, we're going to stop just there because I want to explain what's happening here, okay? Peter is one of the disciples that's following Jesus, just like Matthew that we talked about last week. And they've come into town, and there is a tax collector there that's collecting tax. Who was the other tax collector that we talked about last week? Matthew. All right? Matthew, the tax collector. But this is a totally different tax, okay? Matthew collected tax for the government. And the money went to help with, who knows, it could have helped to build roads or the castle or lots of different things back then. It was a different tax. And remember, lots of people didn't like the tax collectors, did they? Because a lot of those people did things that they weren't supposed to do and stole extra money. This is a different tax, all right? These tax collectors are collecting a tax for the temple or the church of the time, all right? And it's a tax that is so old that God had told Moses way back in the Bible about this tax because it helped to pay for the things that the church needed, all right? It helped help things at the church for the altars and all of the sacrifices and all the things they did. And these tax collectors sometimes had bad reputations as well, but it was a different tax. And Moses had told the people that every man that was 20 years old had to pay this tax to help with the temple. All right? Peter and Jesus were over 20 years old. And so they owed this tax to help the temple at that time. All right? And Peter walks into town, and this tax collector goes up to him, and he needs to pay this tax. But Peter had a really big problem. You see, because Peter used to be a fisherman. But when he met Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Peter, I want you to leave everything and come follow me." So Peter left his fishing business, and he no longer had a job, and he was just following Jesus and helping God and learning from God right now, from Jesus. But you see, nobody paid him to do that, so Peter was not making any money right now. He did not have a job. So when this tax collector came to him and he says, "I need you to pay me this tax," Peter immediately realized that he had a very big problem, because he did not have any money to pay the tax, nor did he have a job to get the money to pay the tax. And he knew that Jesus was not working either. They were going around sharing the good news, and they were not collecting money. They did not have the money for this tax. And Peter was very concerned, because this tax needed to be paid, and these tax collectors were saying it in such a way that Peter recognized they weren't just picking him out because he owed it. See, they had heard Jesus say that he was the Son of God. All right? And they thought that they could prove that Jesus was a phony because he wasn't going to pay this tax. And they said, "You know what? I bet he thinks he's above the rest of us. He thinks he's way better than all of us, and he's not going to have to pay this tax." So they were trying to find a way to trick Jesus, or trick them, because Jesus didn't have a job. They didn't think he had money. And they wanted to find a way to make it seem like Jesus was not who he said he was. And they thought, you know, he's going to think he doesn't have to pay this tax because he keeps saying he's the Son of God. And Peter knew that they had a big problem. Have you ever had a big problem before? No? Sometimes we have big problems, all right? Sometimes we have little problems. Sometimes we have big problems. I got a phone call yesterday from some kids that have been to kids' church here, and their house burned down on Friday. It was either Friday or Saturday morning. Their entire house burned down. Everything. All of the family is safe, but they don't have a house anymore. And everything that was in the house. Is that a big problem? That's a big problem. You know what? They need to find a way to help them, help get everything back. And they were trying to think of ways of what they could do. And they gave me a call and asked. And we started talking about what we could do to help them. But you know what? There's problems that aren't even seeming that big that maybe some of you have. At school one time, I remember Nathan came home, and they have lots of fundraisers to help for things like the school library. Have you ever had to bring something home to make money so that you could help your school library? Or maybe there's something at home that you needed money to buy a Christmas present? Or maybe you needed something, or your family needed something. What would you do if you needed something and you just didn't have enough money in your piggy bank? What is something you could do? Lily, what could you do? What? Your name is not Lily. Okay, you could do some chores. And possibly your mom and dad could do something. Like, I've paid before to have somebody vacuum out the van, maybe. What's something else you could do that you could maybe earn some money? Right here. Yeah. You could sell something. One of the first service said that possibly you could have a lemonade stand. Have you ever done a lemonade stand and you could earn some money? This is a big need and you need to do something. What is an idea? What's something you could do? There you go. You could go around the neighborhood and do some favors and find some ways to make some money. Can I tell you what? Listen, Peter probably had some ideas just like that. He probably had lots of several ideas of some things he could do. But listen, Peter understood something that maybe we forgot just a little bit. He did the absolute best thing that you could do the minute you have a need. And listen to this. In the very next verse, this is what it tells us Peter did. He found out he had a need. He needed the money. And the very next thing he did is in verse 25. And it says, when Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. Peter did not go out and try to think of making a lemonade stand or possibly doing some chores or asking some friends. He thought to himself, I have a need so big that I don't know what I'm going to do. And the first thing he did was went straight to where Jesus was. He knew where Jesus was, and he's like, I don't know how in the world I'm going to take care of this need. So he went straight to Jesus. When you have a need, God will provide, and you need to go straight to him, all right? God will take care of your needs. And the cool thing about this story is God wanted to show us how much he wants to take care of our needs. Because when he walked in, if I keep reading, Peter is coming to tell Jesus, we have to pay this tax, all right? And he hasn't talked to Jesus yet. Jesus wasn't with him. And when he walks in, this is the first thing that Jesus says to Peter, all right? Peter hasn't even told him yet. And this is the first thing Jesus says. He says, what do you think, Simon, or Peter? He's talking to Peter. He asked, from whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? Well, Peter's kind of shocked because he walks into the house and he's going to tell Jesus that they have to pay this tax and he has a big need and he's going to ask him how they can take care of it. And before Peter even says the words, Jesus knows why he's coming. He already knew that Peter was coming to ask about taxes. See, Peter knew that when you have a need, you go to God first. And he found out something very important. God knows your need before you even tell him. And Jesus shows us right here that Peter's walking into the place to tell Jesus he has a need. And Jesus lets him know immediately that he already knew and he's ready to take care of it. And so he asked that question because, see, Jesus knew that those tax collectors were trying to trick them as well and wanted some money and wanted to show people that maybe Jesus thought he was better than them. Because he asked Peter the same kind of question. Does a king take taxes from his prince or from his son, the prince, or the princess? No, he takes taxes from the other people in the town. And Jesus knew what Peter was thinking and all these people were thinking, that he's the Son of God and the Son of God shouldn't have to pay the tax to the temple. But Jesus knew that those people needed to learn about God just as much as anybody else. And he didn't want anybody to be offended or anybody's feelings to be hurt. And he didn't want anything to stand in the way from those tax collectors to learn about Jesus. So he wants to pay the tax, all right? And he sends Peter out to go get the money in a very interesting place. And I have a little video of a couple fish that would like to tell you what Jesus' answer was to this huge need Peter had.
Papa Fish, want to hear a joke? Papa Fish, want to hear a joke?
Sure, Charlie. What is it?
Where do fish keep their money?
I don't know where.
In a river bank. Get it? A river bank?
Good one, Charlie. You know, that joke reminds me of a day when the most unexpected thing happened.
What happened? Tell me, Papa, please.
It started out like any other day. I was just swimming with my guppies, swapping fish stories, having a few laughs, when suddenly we heard someone talking. It was a human. And every fish knows humans eat guys like me for dinner.
Then what?
We all got quiet. We wanted to hear what the human was saying. He was talking to himself, saying something about catching a fish. Oh, that's never good.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. The man's name was Peter. He was talking about following a leader, some guy named Jesus. They needed money to pay a tax. I was confused. I kept thinking, you need money, you go to a bank. You don't go fishing, am I right?
You're right, Papa Fish.
You bet your bubbles I'm right. So I told my buddies to chill and swim low, thinking this guy will get out of our gills in no time. just as soon as he remembers to stop off at the bank, suddenly, something caught my throat. I couldn't get a word out. My mouth was full, and I wasn't happy. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a good snack, just like the next fish. But this was no snack. I didn't know what it was. It was hard and flat and way too big to just swallow. I was trying to spit the thing out so I could see what it was when...
What happened? What happened?
Suddenly, I was yanked by the mouth. It was that human, Peter, pulling me out of the water.
Did you see him, Papa Fish? Did you see him? A real human?
Patience, little one. Let me tell the story. Before I knew it, this Peter guy and me were face to face, nose to nose. And I'm thinking, oh no, now I'm dinner for sure. Just then, Peter grinned at me really big. I thought maybe he was trying to be friendly. So I tried to grin back, but my mouth was too full. Then Peter stuck his fingers in my mouth and pulled out money. It was a coin, a big silver one. Peter laughed and said, Jesus was right. He always is. Then he tossed me back into the water. He let me go.
Whew. Papa Fish, I am so glad.
You're not the only one. My friends were so excited to see me back in the water, they started to shout. I said, shh, keep it down. He's still talking. From what I could hear, it seems Jesus had told Peter to go fishing and look in the mouth of the first fish he caught. That was me. And he'd find the money they needed to pay the tax. Sure enough, it happened just like Jesus said it would. I know, it sounds crazy, like some old fish tale, right? Trust me, no one was more surprised than I was.
That's a great story, Papa Fish.
Thanks, Charlie.
And I learned something.
Oh yeah? What did you learn?
If I ever need anything, anything at all, I'm gonna ask Jesus. And then do what he tells me to do. Nothing fishy about that, huh, Papa?
Nothing fishy at all, little one. Now, swim along or you'll be late for school.
Right, so, God supplied for Peter's need. Do you think Peter thought to himself, if I go fishing, I will find money in a fish's mouth? No, that would be crazy. That's not at all. But see, God knew that Peter had a need. God knew before Peter even asked, and he knew that Jesus would take care of it. Do you know that Jesus takes care of needs that you have all the time? And I bet you don't even think about some of the things that God takes care of. Sometimes we don't even recognize all the things that God is doing for us. He thinks of things before you ever need them and takes care of them for you. Did you know that? You know what? There's something that he thought of that he supplied for you that I bet you haven't thought of in a long time that Jesus did for you. And I need a volunteer to possibly help me with this. I'm going to take the young girl in the penguin thing way back there. Come on up here. Come on up here. I have something I want you to help me with. I'm gonna set this out right here. Let me just spread this out a little bit. You know what? There is something that God has done for you that I bet you haven't thought of lately because he supplied for a need that you had that you didn't even maybe realize you had. And I'm going to show these guys that you have this. Here we go. Can I see your hand for a minute? You see this thing right here? It's a pretty important thing, do you think? I want to show these guys just how important this is. Who gave you this? God gave you this thumb. See, he knew that you were going to need this, and I want these guys to see how much you need it before we even go any further. I got a stopwatch this time. I want you to come over here. I'm going to have you do something. We're going to do it two times. I'm going to have in 30 seconds you pick up these things, and you have to pick them up one at a time, okay, and put them. Let me get them all set in this bucket, okay? Just one at a time. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Go ahead and start. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, time, 23. You got 23 of them in here, okay? Good job. Now, I'm going to do something and show them what I'm talking about here, how God knew that you had a need, and he wanted to take care of it before you even asked him, because it was very important for him. But I need this here. Can I see your hand again? You see that thumb? Come on over here. Let's go over here. That thumb is very important for you. And God said, you know what? I think I'm going to give those people a thumb so that they can do things a lot easier. And if I took your thumb here, just put your hand like this, and I'm going to make it so that you do not have the use of your thumb here with this tape. All right. God said, you know what? If I don't give those people a thumb, things are going to be a little more difficult for them. There, now, you can't use that thumb. Can you use your thumb? All right. I'm going to give you 30 more seconds. And once again, you can pick these things up one at a time with that hand. Just a minute. All right. Go. Because I'm right on. Go. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, time. Was it a little harder that time? That thumb was kind of an important thing, wasn't it? You see, God said, you know what? When he was creating us, you can grab something off the grill right there for helping me out. He's creating us. He thought of a bunch of needs that you have and provided for them before you ever even realized you had them. See, God knows everything about you. And Ariana, he has thought of everything for you. He wants to provide for every single need that you have, Janella, before you even realize it. But there's a couple very important things that this story shows us. And number one is, he's waiting for us to ask sometimes. All right? Peter realized that, and he showed us that when we recognize we have a need, the first thing we do is run straight to Jesus. The second thing this story shows us is that God knows our need, and he's already thought of a way to provide for it, all right? He knew Peter had this need, and before Peter even opened his mouth, God already had a way to provide for the need, just like he does for you guys. And he says to Peter, go out and go fishing. And not only just don't go fishing and catch a bunch of fish. He says, go catch just one fish. And when you bring it in, look in its mouth, all right? Don't just take the hook out, but look in its mouth, because inside that fish's mouth is a coin. Have you, you know, I've caught a lot of fish, okay? Because we go fishing a lot. I have never opened up a fish's mouth and found money in a fish, Mary, ever. Never. I'm trying to think if there's anything I've found in a fish's mouth besides another fish. Maybe a hook from somebody else. But nothing else. Fish typically are not money makers, all right? Now, you can sell a fish and you can make some money, but I wouldn't go fishing to pay for my bills. Fish don't have that kind of a thing. God knew that he was providing for Peter in a very unique way so that Peter would realize that God was taking care of it, not somebody else, all right? And I have a second little video that is is really cute, that shows the whole story from beginning to end for God providing for Peter's need.
Simon.
Oh, hey, Abby, how you doing?
So-so, I guess. I was doing better when you and Andrew and those Zebedee boys were running the fish boats. Oh. Nobody catches fish like you guys.
Oh, so you're not selling as much fish as you used to, huh?
Nah. Those new guys just don't have the touch like you boys did.
Well, it takes time to learn how to fish the Sea of Galilee. They'll get the hang of it.
Well, I hope so. I tell you one thing. It's going to be a while before anybody tops that last catch you boys brought in.
Oh, well, that was a miracle of the Lord, Avi. I let Jesus use my boat, and he paid me back by telling me where to throw my net.
Well, he paid you back, all right. That haul was the largest single catch ever taken from the Sea of Galilee.
Oh, yeah. It was so big that the nets broke, and we almost sunk the boats getting it in.
So you like working for this Jesus fella even more than fishing?
Oh, I wouldn't quit working for him for anything. It's amazing, Avi. He heals every kind of sickness. I am so honored that I get to help him heal the hurting people.
Oh, come on, Simon. Don't give me that. It's a racket. Jesus is only after the money. Those miracles aren't real.
Avi, you come with us for 2 days and watch. I guarantee that you'll believe in Jesus' miracles. Did you ever hear about the maniac who lived in the tombs at Gadara?
That crazy guy who cuts himself with stones and lives in that graveyard?
Yeah. Well, he's not crazy anymore. Jesus cast out the demons who tormented him. He is in his right mind.
No fooling.
And ask anyone who came to hear Jesus preach last year at Caesarea Philippi in the wilderness about the loaves and the fishes. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
You saw this with your own eyes?
With these 2 eyes. I helped to seat the people and I passed out the food. Ask my brother Andrew. He saw it too.
Well, maybe there is something to this Jesus after all.
Oh, you better believe it, Avi. He's the Messiah.
I would like to buy 7 fish, please.
Excuse me, Simon. I've got a customer here.
Don't forget what I said, Avi.
All right. Yes, sir. We got the freshest fish in all the town.
Figs? Pomegranates? Figs? Dates?
You, sir. You are a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. Are you not?
That's right.
Well, we are collecting tax for the support of the temple. Doesn't your master believe in paying this tax?
Yes, he does.
Well, you'd better pay up then.
Well, I don't have any money with me right now, but I'll be right back.
If he doesn't come back to pay the tax, I'll have the fisherman and the Nazarene thrown in jail.
And what were you disputing amongst yourselves? Simon, what do you think? Of whom do the kings of this earth take tribute money? From their own people or strangers?
Well, they take money from strangers.
Then there shouldn't be a tax upon their own people. But we will not create a problem with these men, so we will pay them. Go down to the sea and throw in a hook. Open the mouth of the first fish that you catch, and you'll find a coin. Use it to pay my taxes and yours.
Yes, master. Oh, hey, fellas.
Got any money yet?
Oh, not yet. But I'm going fishing.
You'd better catch a lot of fish.
Oh, I only need to catch one.
You'll have to catch more than one fish if you plan on using it to pay for your taxes.
Oh, I'll have the money back here in no time.
These followers of Jesus are the goofiest people in the world. He thinks he can catch enough fish in just a few minutes to pay for his taxes. We'll see.
Well, there's not much more we can do today. We're all out of fish, son.
Hey, Avi, you got a pole and a hook?
Well, yeah. What do you want?
I need to catch a fish.
Well, you're going to need a net then, won't you? You're not going to catch very many fish with a pole. Hey, I'm all out of fish anyway. I can sure use some more.
I only need to catch one.
What?
Are you going to give me a pole or not?
Ari, go get him a pole.
Okay.
Don't tell me that you're going to give up following Jesus just so you can go back to fishing.
Not hardly.
Here's your pole, sir.
Oh, yes. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is Peter using a pole and a hook to catch fish? He never used to catch fish that way before. He always used a big net.
Sir, I'd like to buy one more fish.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm all sold out.
Well, I only need one more fish.
Well, I'd like to help you, but like my sign here says, I'm all sold out.
No, you're not.
Oh. Ooh, that's a big one. How much?
How much? Well, I don't know.
Here's the pole, Abby. You keep the fish. I've got what I need.
All right, then. That'll be 20 cents, sir.
Oh, that's a deal.
Thanks, Peter. Has that man got away with fish?
But it's all I have.
Then bring the rest tomorrow.
Oh, I'll do my best.
Pay what you owe, or we'll come take what we want. We know where you live.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, I'm here to pay Jesus' taxes, and mine too.
You must have got a lot of fish.
No, just one. But he had this in his mouth.
Well, I'll be.
Gentlemen, good day.
It does smell rather fishy.
All right. When you have a need, you go straight to God because God will supply. And you know what? It doesn't matter how big your need is, our God is bigger. And he is able to take care of anything that you need. Now, boys, I want you to look up here. I know that we prayed earlier, and several of you kids came forward and you prayed for needs already. But I want to tell you, there are lots of needs that are in this room. Some of the kids maybe aren't here right now, but we have lots of needs represented in this room. And sometimes some of us are afraid, please have a seat, Miss Mary, are afraid to even share what our needs are. And this morning, I want to take just a moment to pray together, okay? Because we're going to pray for those young kids, minus one for the girls right here. We're going to pray for those kids whose house burned down this Saturday, okay? Because they have a need, but God is bigger, and God is going to be able to take care of that need. There are some other kids in this room who last week had a really big need because one of their family members isn't with them anymore. And I want to pray for those two kids also. You know what? There's lots of things in this room that sometimes we get overwhelmed with and we get worried about. How in the world are we going to have take care of this? How are my mom and dad going to take care of this? But let me tell you, your God is bigger. Peter understood that, and he went straight to Jesus. And this morning, we're going to do the same thing, all right? And we're going to pray together. Whatever your need is right now, maybe it's something your mom and dad have that they haven't, you know that they're struggling. Maybe it's your family members are fighting a lot at your house. Maybe it is a financial thing. Maybe it is you need a friend. It doesn't matter what it is. When you have a need, God wants to provide for it, and he is able, all right? And we're going to pray right now together, and I want you guys to close your eyes and bow your heads. And in your mind, be thinking about it. Let God know what your need is, because he's waiting to provide for it right now. God, I thank you that we don't have to be concerned and worry and stress out about the things in this life, because the word says, and this story shows us, that you are able to take care of whatever our need is. And God, you already know and you have the means and even the avenue to do it. And right now we represent a ton of needs in this room. God, even the kids who aren't here this morning because their need is so big that they're taking care of some things right now, I ask that you would even go to those kids and that you would provide those needs. God, those kids whose house burned down, I ask that you would begin to work out the situation right now so that that mom does not have to worry about it and she realizes that God takes care of that. Lord, if there are kids right now whose families are having a struggle, I ask right now that you would put your hand on that need and you would totally take care of it, because we serve a God that is bigger than any need that we could ever have. Lord, I thank you that we simply need to ask. And the story and your word shows us that you are able and ready to take care of it immediately. Lord, help us to be obedient to do what you ask so that you can come and you can totally take care of it. In Jesus' name, amen. God is waiting for you to bring that need to him so that he can take care of it. I see that. You know, while Freddie, is that you?
Yes.
I see your sign, Gone Fishing.
But I wanted to
ask you about this. Coaches, while I'm talking to Freddie, could you pass out these Fruit Loops to the kids? But, if your team is talking, you will lose a point, because I'm having a conversation here that is very important. Girls, minus one.
Oh,
I
girls.
I just told you. Thank you. What's with the sign? Are you going fishing now, too?
Well, I thought I would tell everybody where I was going.
Okay. Well, fishing, I take it. What? Good. Well, why are you going fishing?
Of course. I mean, I listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I have to get busy if I want to pay all my bills, too.
Okay. So you're going to go fishing to pay for your bills, too. Okay, well,
I figured out if a dollar coin in every fish's mouth, it would take me about 20 fish a day for a couple of weeks to be able to buy a new Wii U.
Wait,
and then I wouldn't have to work so hard on memory verses.
Okay, wait a minute, Freddie. Let me get this straight. You think you're going to go fishing and catch 20 fish a day with a dollar in every one of their mouths so you can buy a Wii U?
Do better.
Okay, wait a minute, Freddie. Wait a minute. I think you misunderstood what we were talking about here. Number one, this fish that I pulled the money out of, that doesn't happen. The fish don't just have money in their mouths every time you turn around.
What?
You misunderstood the story. See, this was a one-time miracle that God did for Peter to provide for that need. But you can't go out and go fishing. You're not going to catch 20 fish with dollar in every one of their mouths.
Bah.
No.
What the hell?
Yeah, no.
But.
And you know what? Learning the memory verse is a lot more important than just getting the Wii U.
But they're so hard.
Some of them are hard. You know what? How many of you have struggled a little bit with learning the memory verse? It's been kind of hard for you. Well, you know what? We'll take a moment. Freddie, I would like to help you and these few kids right here. We can learn this memory verse together, so it's not so hard.
Well, yeah, but I really got to get busy catching the fish.
No, you're not going to find fish with money in their mouths.
But
that was a one-time miracle that God did for Peter. Your job is to learn God's word, learning our memory verse, so that you can hide God's word in your heart.
Well, then, I don't need to go fishing, then.
No, you don't need to go fishing. No, we could learn this memory verse together.
How about that?
All right, guys, while you're eating your Fruit Loops, we're going to learn this verse with Freddie, because you guys all have a job to do when you get home today to help your parents with their homework as well, all right? How about this? I'm going to do it one time with Freddie, and then I will have you guys help me too, okay? Freddie, just repeat this after me, all right?
Repeat this after me, all right?
Exactly. Okay.
John 14:21.
Good job. Okay, wait a minute. Shh. Yeah, listen to Freddie. He said, shh. Whoever has my commands.
Whoever has my commands.
And obeys them. He is the one. Who loves me. He who loves me. Will be loved by my Father. And I too. Will love him. And show myself. To him.
My crazy hair.
No, to him.
To him.
There you go. All right. Now, Freddie, that was awesome. And I have it up here on the screen so that we can all read it together, all right? And we're going to read it together. Nobody hurrying and reading it faster. Freddie, I will read it here with you.
Okay.
All right? So we can read it together.
Okay.
Whoever. Hey, I want you guys to read this with us, all right? Whoever has my commands.
Has my commands.
And obeys them. He is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him
and show myself to him.
John 14:21.
John 14:21.